Well, let me show you something. You'll feel absolutely no pain at all.
Greetings, Chicago and the world. This is Martha Johnson of Martha and the Muffins, and you're listening to Chicago's Dub Selector, the Turntable Terrorist, Terry C, on Echo Beach at 88.7 WLUW-FM, Chicago's Sound Alliance. Echo Beach, far away in dub.
This isn't a place for human beings. All right, let's go to the beach and get away from here.
This is just a dub team.
Dub crazy.
Well, what have we got next?
Echo Beach is next. Dubbing you straight to the head.
He just suddenly went out of his head.
Is that a timetable?
Well, get on it. It's your time.
Your head will become a crazy, bulbous punch bag of sound. Let weight. And fearsome.
What the bloody hell's all this? You know what the bloody time is? It's 2 o'clock in the bloody morning.
Echo Beach taking over.
absolutely no pain at all.
mixture. Utterly fantastic.
I just got a feeling that I've heard it before.
You are about to see
Let me show you something.
Yeah.
utterly fantastic. Amygdala stimulant.
Amygdala stimulant. What's that?
Ultra shortwave stimulations to specific parts of the brain. Utterly fantastic.
Thank you very much for the compliment.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much. It is always a pleasure.
We need some masala.
How we fix for a nice cold martini.
That voice. Oh, yes, he's here. Breathe.
An amygdala stimulus.
On the beach.
Echo Beach.
And I'm your host. Chicago's dub selector, the turntable terrorist. Bringing down the dub wise and otherwise sounds each and every Friday from 2 a.m. to 4 a.m. Right here from the shores of Lake Michigan at 88.7 WLUW and on the web at WLUW.org. Hope everyone's recovered from last week's Dubs from the Crypt Halloween special. Always a lot of fun. But the great tunes never stop here on the beach. And we just finished the first set tonight's show with Mad Tone doing The Good Soul from an upcoming release called You Can't Buy Confidence. It's an EP on Blossom's Kitchen Recordings. Big up to Dr. Strange Dub for the tip on this one. Before that, Magra Bika with Nef Takir Part 1 featuring Bill Laswell from the release entitled Nef Takir on Maroc, El Farnacci Records from 2008, and before that, Masala Dosa from France doing Om Cinema, from their release Electro World Curry, on Masala Dosa, also going back to 2008. Before that, Casbah Rockers in the mix, featuring Bill Laswell once again with Fallujah Car. From the Casbah Records release on Baraka El Farnacci again. That was preceded by some brand newness from Hightone doing Rubba Dub Anthem featuring Papa Jim. From disc one of the new Outback release, disc one entitled Dub Axiom. And that's on Jarring Effects, and a big shout out to Jerome at Jarring Effects for lots of nice, nice new JFX sounds. We started off tonight's show with something brand new from the Easy Star All Stars doing Us and Them. That was the Dread Zone remix from the latest Easy Star release, Dubber Side of the Moon. It's just out and contains bass heavy remixes and dub versions of the Dub Side of the Moon release from 2003. And I've got another one from this heavy new release a bit later in the show. All right, before we get back into it, the usual reminders, the studio dub line is wide open at 773-508-9589. That's 773-508-WLUW. Also have AOL Instant Messenger up and running. You can dub me a message there at Echo Beach WLUW, just like DJ Johnny Dub Disco is doing right now from LA. Or you can send me email any time of the day or night. That's echobeachwluw@yahoo.com. And I've got the playlist going nearly real time at the wluw.org website, so you can get all the details. All right, I got a couple of special segments in the show tonight. Got tributes for the late Ari Up and the late Gregory Isaacs, both of whom recently passed away. And right now, we're going to get to the Ari Up tribute. And this is actually an interview I did with Ari Up almost exactly 1 year ago, just after the release of the last Slits full length, which was their first full length release in 25 years at that time, 26 years now. Trapped Animal, that was on Narnak Records. And I caught up with her, the legendary Punky Reggae Chanteuse, in her home in NYC, and we talked about everything from the early days of the Slits to her collaborations with Echo Beach regulars Double Standard. We also talked about the new Slits album at that time. So bless up to Ari Up as we have a listen to this interview from last fall during this half hour here on the beach. We just moved our studio to downtown Chicago, and
that's cool. It's all set up now. What you got it? Got it right.
Yes.
Chicago's one of my favorite places.
Is it?
Yes, it is. It is one of my favorite in America.
I'm happy to hear that. My listeners will be as well. And what makes it one of your favorite places?
Well, there's a few things. One is that we had really good experiences on our tours in America anyway, in the first place, in the early Slits days, in 1980. And Chicago was like a gig that I never forgot. First of all, it was a really good gig experience. And also just walking around, being in the environment of Chicago at the time, really left a lasting impression for a young teenager. And out of all the places in America, I still remember that gig that we did in 1980,
wow,
which was just crazy. It was either end of 79 or 1980, I don't remember the exact time, but it was just like such a response, you know, it was wild at the time. The audience was maybe different from now. I don't know, they were just out there. I thought I was in the wild, wild west, but in a good way, you know, like going crazy. And I would sing like, Chicago, Chicago.
Oh, I bet that really got him going.
No. I was taking the person away, and they liked it. They didn't care, you know. I was making a joke, a parody of it. And because everyone just made us feel really welcome there. And, you know, at that time, it was unique to be made to feel welcome. And people going wild because we were so ahead of time, and people were just not all together in all countries. They were not, and generally speaking, doesn't matter America or anywhere really, it's just people were not prepared for the flip. I mean, it was
right.
Too much for people, you know. It was out of this world. People were just feeling really alienated and thought it was some kind of alien invasion or they wanted to go back to the witch hunting days, you know, like just have us burned at the stake, you know. Or people, yeah, they were really threatened, you know. And a lot of places going across America were really sort of, what is this, you know, and very offended. But Chicago was really good on us. And I think, you know, we were walking around, and me and Nana, I think, used to walk, me and Nana Sherry as well, used to walk around in the neighborhoods. And we went from blues club to blues. That was the times when you had a ton of blues clubs.
Yeah, now there's a half a ton of blues clubs. A lot of them have gone more commercial, but there's still some good ones here.
Yeah, I bet, because it's the roots of it in a way. What we found out at that time, the little time that we were there, is like it had a roots history of music in Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of blues thing going on. And then when we went, we saw that was true, you know. And there was just an edgy, you know. Chicago was also scary a little. And that kind of worked for us too, because we were really rebellious and innocent. And it was scary at the time because, you know, there was still a really segregated sort of heavy times of like racism going on, and the black neighborhoods were still really black and really like, people were like really like, what the fuck are you walking in our neighborhood like that, you know? But people, when we were walking in the black neighborhoods, it was more like, these girls are brave, man. Who are they?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, now why do they look like that? Like, because people were like, they weren't used to seeing women like us looking the way we did, right? Black people were more like, what the, you know, like they were like more like, what the fuck is this? But this is interesting. This is different. This feels like this is not typical white girls. This is not typical girls. But, you know, they just really treated us like, in a way, kind of reflected. It was interesting to see the reaction of different cultures, because people were so segregated in those days.
Mm-hmm.
And people, we were walking around, and they were into Rick James and hair mesh, and, you know, they were into men. You know, in 81, they were really into Rick James, and people were wearing a mesh hairnet, you know, guys were wearing the hairnets, and we thought it was hilarious. They were like covering their wavy locks, and you know, and they had all this spray shit going on in
the
hair, so they had these nets on. And we would walk in the neighborhoods, and just as much as they would flip out at us and thinking who we were able to sort of spit it back at them and say, oh, but you know, you're all like tough, and you're, to us this is funny because guys are supposed to be gang, like they're like all gang where they are, all gang. They were gangster with guns and had the hairnet in their hair, you know. Not funny to us like that, because we grew up with the Jamaicans.
Right.
And the West Indians in England, and it's a totally different scene, totally different.
Very different
from African American.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Very different, yeah.
Totally. So for us, it was of course very interesting to share the culture, kind of see what's going on, because in England, it was just a totally like a combined sort of revolution going on with the punk and reggae and punky reggae. You know, kind of going over from punk to reggae, and we were constantly with Jamaicans, you know,
mm-hmm.
sound systems, carnival music, musicians working with different guys from the Caribbean would send, you know? I mean, that they were like, they would look at Americans like they had nothing in common with America. That was the funny thing. They had nothing in common with African Americans, you know? They would look at them like, what they're walking with the hand and people were like not into that. They were looking more like hip-hop, you know? They were way ahead of hip-hop. Because the Jamaicans really started the whole hip-hop, you know, in a way like that, by looking different, mm-hmm. the philosophy, and also even toasting, even like a DJing, which we call DJing in Jamaica, is MCing, is being a rapper.
Yeah. Sure.
You know, like a lot of people don't know this, but in America, the DJ is spinning records, but in Jamaica, a DJ is somebody who raps.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So that started in England in Jamaica long before even the hip hop scene evolved. So they were looking at Americans too, like at the time, totally backward and living in the dark ages and all that disco stuff and all that, and all that, you know, Jerry Curl and, you know, people. So it was just a very interesting time like that, how the whole punky reggae thing evolved and how people were just ahead of time, you know? And both Caribbean people who were into reggae and punk were really setting the next decade, like 30 years, 20 years ahead of the decade.
Definitely. Now, how did you come to be interested in reggae?
Well, that was right from the get-go, because we started the Slits in 76. And we were bombarded by reggae, surrounded by reggae. I mean, everywhere you went, there was reggae. It's all in the streets, everywhere. And if you didn't hear it on radio, which you didn't, of course, it was all in the streets. And we were in the streets. And we built a revolution from the streets. So we were bombarded by reggae, and then all our peers, everybody was listening to reggae. You know, there was Don Letts, of course.
Yeah, of course.
You know, played reggae in the Roxy Club, and we were hanging out with him. He was playing reggae all the time, and then, of course, there was John from Sex Pistols, who was already well-educated in all the dub culture reggae, who later even did a whole collection tied up for Virgin. I never forget, Virgin Records put out an album called Frontline, which was a mixture of great reggae artists combinations like the Gladiators. Just people that were not heard of in America or anywhere in the modern contemporary world. It was just strictly rude, as we call it. And so Virgin Records went to John Lydon, right, and said, you know, like, he compiled it for them. He compiled, like, a selection of music. And then, of course, the Clash, where all our friends, like Palmolive, the drummer, was going out with Joe's drummer, as you know, before the Slits even came to be. Dave Albertine, the guitarist, was already with Mick Jones before the Slits even came to be. So they were like bombarding we were already in with reggae because of all of our peers as well.
What a mix. And the names that you kind of throw out there, I mean, you guys were, you know, at the forefront. I guess I owe what I do here in Chicago to what came out of that. I mean,
forefront, you said it there, and that's why we appreciated that America thing too when we got here. You really were smelling the pioneering thing, you know. If you don't grow up in America, I guess you don't really buy into the pioneer thing. And a lot of people who are prejudiced against America when they come from Europe, you know, they look down and say, "Oh, America." But we came to America and say, "That's what they're talking about, the pioneer spirit." You know, and because we appreciated that, because we were pioneers, or we should say, appreciate love is a dub show. We don't appreciate hate, we appreciate love. Yeah, so we appreciate love America for the pioneering thing that was going on here. And that's why I think to this day, there's space for the Slits here too, more than anywhere, because there's this pioneering thing going on, and they appreciate groundbreaking, you know, ahead of time people who started stuff, and basic groups that are really like legendary, like the Slits have become legends apparently, and America lets us notice every time. But this is why we're really going to hit it off in America this time too, because they're just catching in with the times anyway, with reggae and punk, you know, it's all coming full flow coming in now. And if we really hit it at the right time with the right people, then the Slits can really come to the forefront now and represent, you know, and say, this is what we started, but this is what's still here. This is what matters. The real, you know, the real old, the real edgy sort of reggae and punk mix combined is really what's relevant today, too.
Definitely so. And I think you guys are in a good position to sort of bring everything from your past up to date with that too. And you know, there's so much going on with spin-offs of reggae and dub, and of course dubstep's a huge thing, and you've been involved in that too with the Double Standard release.
Yeah, Double Standard, and they're all kind of, there's the Japanese are amazing on everything, and they of course heavy into dubstep too, and they did stuff with me, and you know, Japanese, they moved themselves into Kingston, because I've been a Kingstonian most of my life. I've been living in Kingston, Jamaica,
right,
most of my life. And the Japanese are moving in like it's nothing. Like, they're not just coming there like tourists or carnival attractions. They're coming there like booking the studio month upon month, you know, doing dub plays, doing sound system. They have a big sound system in Jamaica too, people living there. Girls come in with the latest dances. They know all their dancing. They know there's a revolution musically going on in Jamaica, which is just totally like, people are missing out all over. You said missing out. Yes, they missed out back then, and now they're missing out again. It's like, what is this? That no one catches into the times of when a revolution's happening. Like back in, that's another thing that happened back when we were living in England, and with the Jamaican kind of outburst, you know, explosion of reggae and stuff. Mm-hmm. That's one of the things. Bob Marley died very sadly. He died with his dream not having come true. His biggest thing was to have gotten through to Americans, and especially to African Americans, because even though white people were apparently getting more into it and finding out more about reggae at the time, even though it wasn't reggae dub as much as, they missed out on dub, yeah, but they kind of listened to, they heard Bob Marley, obviously, Peter Tosh, other, you know, people,
yeah,
in at least a little form. But African American were oblivious. They had no clue, they had no interest, nothing, zero. And if Bob Marley was alive today, he'd be happy to see how big the explosion connection has come with the cousins of between hip-hop and reggae.
Definitely.
And that made the connection so that hip-hop people more into reggae now and dub and anything that comes out of Jamaica now, they're like coming out. They're kind of catching, they're kind of in on it, and a lot of Latin people are in on it, and Japanese people moved in, like I said, into Jamaica, living there, you know, and just taking part in the whole music eruption over there. And what's happened? It's like what happened to people, you know, in Europe or European or the American white folks. What's going on? They're missing out on the whole reggae scene that's going on now.
Definitely. And, you know, you touched on several good points there. And I think a lot of people here miss out because they're very passive musically. Like, whenever I go to England, I'm always impressed. You know, it's just, they're just more aware of what's going on musically. And also, every spring I do a show called Around the World in Dub. And each spring I take 20, 25 different countries and show people what dub and reggae is doing there.
Oh, that's great.
And, you know, it's everywhere. It's in China, it's in Iceland, it's in Hungary, it's everywhere. It's there.
That's true. That is true. That's an observation you made. Because I did a festival in it's not Yugoslavia anymore. What's it called now? They keep changing names.
Well, yeah, it's Croatia and, what's the other
one? Whatever, people with pink toilet paper and pink hair. Okay, they're over there, like, living it now, and they're into reggae like crazy, and
yes,
dub and modern,
yes,
and punk and punky reggae. And London is, of course, England, like you said, it's like nothing. They grew up in the reggae, so now the new generations, of course,
mm-hmm,
know they're It's like in the flow of regular society now.
Definitely.
But a lot of people are missing out, and still over here, it's still, you don't, there's a lot of people just totally unaware of stuff, which really disappoints me. It's really sad that they don't know yet, and that once they know this, that they should at least catch up on the new dub, because even though it's not really dubby now, but they have new music coming out of Jamaica, no matter what. It's the new form, you know?
Right.
They do have a variety of culture. They always say, oh, it's too much about Batman, and too much about Pum Pum, and too much about this and that, slack and ray, ray, ray. But you know what? What happened to the rest of it? There's like a million stuff singing about political circumstances, or what's going on with Jamaica, or personal life stories, or love stories, even love songs. Dancing, what about dancing? There's a big explosion of dancing. People are missing out. And they're doing dancing lyrics to the songs. So you have variety of songs in reggae now, and artists who are doing culture, roots, and dancehall. Jamaica is just torn into the ground, and they're not listening to the rest. All the rest, there's so much other good stuff coming out.
There definitely is, and that's what it's all about, you know, getting people to listen. And the thing is, so much of this music that's going on now, it has its roots. It goes back to what came out of Jamaica in the 60s and 70s, whether it's the studio techniques or...
Totally.
One of the things that I do like is what went on with Double Standard updating Lee Perry's Blackboard Jungle, bringing it into the dubstep scene, and tying it all together, which is, you know, dubstep is pretty popular, but a lot of people are unaware of where it comes from and what it's all about. The history is all there, but, you know, a lot of people are just on the surface of it. They're like, well, this is a kind of a good groove that I can move to, and that's it. But some people are doing more. They're bringing the history into it, which I think is the great thing that Double Standard and Subatomic have done with Lee Perry. And you work with those guys. Fantastic.
Yes, because it's a combination of everyone. And anyone who deals with any type of reggae or punk at all, there has to be some kind of collaboration or they're cousins, you know. Dancehall is overlooked. Dancehall is right now happening and needs to be out there too. It needs to be out there full on. I'm not talking about Sean Paul, who's a huge pop star now, and everyone acknowledges that that's a great species on and stuff. And then they leave it at that. Okay, they say they put Sean Paul out there, and then they're not showing that there's a whole element of dancehall going on.
Yeah.
Sean Paul is more like a pop star, even though he does it totally on dancehall beat. But the things he sings about, it's just one topic, and it's very this very mainstream type of people can accept. Oh, that's just some exotic dancehall beats, and that's it. You know, they're not taking part in the whole thing, the whole
right.
thing that's going on, the whole movement, dancehall movement going on. Yeah.
Hopefully, you know, you guys can help with that, and I think you are.
You hit it on the spot. That's exactly my mission. My mission, personally, I don't know about the split now. Speaking of. Like the Slits, I'm sure are into it one way or another, but me personally, Ari Up, if you hit it on the nail, I'm living for the mission to really, really bring out bring out the reggae thing, like mixed with dancehall and dub and old dub and new stuff and punky stuff in there thrown in. Or whatever you want to call punk, I don't even know, just whatever. they have to always label us, and they
of
always
want
to find a label, and since we hate labels and we're not into labeling, but we might as well just say punky reggae, even though we never really labeled punk, you know, we were never really labeled, I mean, I just couldn't really... I have issues about labelization, you know.
It works in record stores, but that's about it.
I guess so. But, you know, to get that hybrid sound and to still have it really really raw and real and roots and down to earth, you know. A hybrid sound that's not diluted, so to speak, you know.
Definitely.
So and to bring that out, let people know, make them aware, and I'd love to do that. I would personally have a mission with trying to get Jamaican artists out there with it, you know, on tour or something that we can get out there for people to know. And we already have enough trouble to get the flips out there, you know, out to be known again. So hopefully we can do the mission of bringing the flips out and still have still getting people conscious and aware of other amazing stuff that's out there, you know.
I'm with you on that. And obviously, you know, just from listening to you talk, I've never heard you talk when you weren't passionate, and all that passion is still there 30 plus years later, as you started out with the Slits and now, you know, as you reformed to do Trapped Animal here, you know, 30 years on, the passion is still there, Ari.
And well, wait till you see me, then you see the passion, not just hear it.
I can feel it, I can feel it.
You know, I have to keep passionate. I have a 25-year-old boyfriend in Jamaica. I've tons of kids of different ages all coming up, nephews, nieces, my own kids, and they all range from grown to baby, you know, and teenagers, and I gotta just keep up on everything. I'm bombarded by music all the time. It's unavoidable to not be with the times, first of all, and not to have passion, because that's the only thing worth living for, is your passion and principles to abide by, and passion, you know?
You're living up to that, and it still comes through in the music. I was gonna ask you, how do you feel differently as to what you put into the Slits here in 2009 and what comes out versus, you know, 1979 or your last release?
Well, you heard Trapped Animal, right?
Yeah.
I mean, isn't there that whole combination in there, that kind of everything, a little bit of everything?
There's a little bit of everything, and I think there's more experience. You can tell. I mean, it's the same, yet it's different. I mean, you know, it's...
Yeah, I mean, because it's the third album now. It's continued, you know?
Right.
Don't forget, we had the early John P. sessions, and that was really the punky, tribal already, crazy, raw stuff, but still complex type of songs. And then we wanted to get that in this album to still pay tribute to it, so we did that Reject song, which is very sort of 70s, 60s, I think, even though it's got a little dancehall section jumping in.
Reject, yeah.
On Reject,
yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's like a combination of giving 76 a little bit of thing there, you know, and then going straight to 2009. Then, of course, we've got clubby type stuff like Pay Rent, you know, which is sort of more updated clubby song. Or Lazy Slum, which is a straight up dancehall song, you know, updated. But then we want to go back to old stuff, dubby stuff like
Babylon.
And Babylon is even not our song. Babylon is a tribute to a direct dub that was out in 79. And I don't even know who the guy or who the singer was at the time. It was totally unknown. Not even reggae people knew that song much. They don't even remember it. And Babylon is just me and Tessa's favorite song in reggae. One of the favorites. Not favorite, but one of them. And so we just gave it totally that tribute to dub times. And if you listen to it, because Adrian Sherwood mixed it, because he's anyways from the dub times, you know?
Yes, goes back to your New Age stepper days.
Exactly. So he did it totally authentically, you know? All our reggae on there sounds really authentic. And then we've got the abstract stuff like Trapped Animal and a couple of other ones that are like more like the other album we had, not Cut, but the Return of the Giant Slit, which was more like the first world beat kind of... We didn't even know world beat existed. It didn't exist yet.
The term had not been invented, that's right.
Right, there wasn't, it didn't. So we always were such, at the forefront. We were always such pioneers. Because we started something with Cut album anyway, that the legendary Cut is still timeless now. It's still, when we play it on stage now and people don't know us, like our tour manager, he didn't know us. And he didn't know which song was new or not. Because he's like, oh, this is Cut album stuff, but I don't know it, so how would I know? It sounds totally in time to now. Which is true, if you play it live now, or even if you listen to the album, it could still fit into the times now. And so we were ahead of time with that kind of punky reggae sound there. But then the Return of Giant Slit later on was like the first sort of world beat cultural, you know, getting into different African beats and still a little reggae in there, but also jazzy, funky world beat type stuff, right? So this album, Trapped Animal, now got like a combination of all of that, sticking to the roots of the Slits, but at the same time being
contemporary.
Contemporary. I can't even say that word. Contemporary, right. You're listening to Chicago's Dub Selector, Terry C, on Tucker Beach at 88.7 WLUW FM, Chicago's Sound Alliance.
All right, and we are back here on the beach. Just finished up with a repeat, a replay of the Ari Up interview I conducted last November, about almost exactly a year ago. And this is, of course, tribute to the late Ari Up. All right, and let's do the official thing. You're listening to 88.7 WLUW Chicago Sound Alliance. And right now it's time for a few notes on upcoming shows before we get into our next set. Next week, November 12th, it's time to hop back aboard the Roots Train. And then on November 26th, we have another visit from the one and only Phonograph Fanatic. I think he's going to be touching down in the late 50s or early 60s this year. So as always, lots of good dubwise and otherwise sounds coming your way here on the beach, where we put the dub in WLUW. And for the meantime, you can check out the Echo Beach playlists and upcoming events on the Echo Beach MySpace page, which you can find at myspace.com/TTT Echo Beach.